Jack Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. We appreciate it. Oh, now I feel... I was going to get that popcorn bed ready, too, for Rachel. Now I have nothing. Nothing! What?
Nothing!
All right. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Let's just
I wish you would have saved that old lady.
Me, too. Instead of letting those wild dogs tear her limb from limb. Well, what can you do? Life is for the living.
What can you do?
Let's take this one call, and then we'll talk to Rachel McGrath from CNN. Bill, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah, Daria's bosoms were spectacular when she was putting her way through college.
Okay, there's no call for that, sir.
What?
It's too soon. No,
what did he mean?
It just says on screen, Daria was hotter when was stripper.
She was a stripper?
No, she wasn't a stripper.
Oh.
Well, I don't know. I'm presuming, I thought it was a gag. It says on screen, Daria
wasn't
was,
a stripper.
No, she wasn't. That's why I put it on, because it's funny, because it's ironic.
Well, then I have to Google.
That guy couldn't really sell it, though. That was a joke that could have been funny, and then the inflection was all wrong. The guy couldn't really, he didn't know where the comedy was in that. All right, do we have let's just use the Star Wars. Do we have that?
Oh, sure.
It's kind of our go-to music. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now on the Rick Emerson Program for her inaugural appearance, will you please welcome, from Los Angeles, CNN Radio correspondent, Rachel McGrath. Rachel, hello.
I've never had such a welcome before. Wonderful.
Well, it's what we do here, Rachel.
Is it?
Yes.
Very nice.
It is.
I feel quite special.
Well, okay. Well, I'm glad the Rick Emerson Show, we do what we can to try to make every day a little bit better than the day that came before it, Rachel. So if in any way we can pick you up with a smile on your face, a song in your heart, a dip in your hip, or a spring in your step, that's what we do here. If I may ask you this, now, and I just don't mean this with any sort of, I don't mean the probe into your personal business or whatnot, but now, are you new to CNN? Have you been with CNN for a while? Because I don't think we've seen your name come up before.
I'm new to CNN, although I have been working as a radio journalist for almost 20 years.
Now
it's giving my age away a little, isn't it? Like you can probably tell, I'm from Alabama originally. No, I'm from England, of course. I used to work for the BBC. I've been in Los Angeles for 11 years, and now I've just joined CNN. So.
Fantastic. Now, you probably just said this, my newsman was starting. You are undoubtedly familiar with Richard Quest. Yeah, who we love, who is one of the greatest journalists in the history of the world, if only because he's got gigantic teeth and makes asinine statements with alarming regularity. We love that guy. Is your radio experience primarily in Britain, or have you been doing it in America for a while, or?
Oh, yeah. I've been working in Los Angeles for 11 years, mainly supplying British radio and some television outlets as well around the world. So I've been kind of doing the Hollywood beat, although I did train as a very serious journalist with the BBC, and I was a news anchor there. When I came to Hollywood, it all went to my head, and I've been talking to celebrities for 10 years, and now it's like, enough already. Enough. Take me away from the red carpet.
I got to tell you, I don't know how much time you've really spent talking to Jim Roop, but that guy once had journalistic principles as well, and they went...
They don't go out the window in Los Angeles, you know. Hollywood gets to you.
Oh, no, they went by the wayside so long ago. I mean, you talk to Jim Roop, and God love him, that's a man so drunk he can barely stand most of the time. No, that's a scientific fact, and that's one of the things that endears him to us.
Oh, right. So if I buy him a cocktail next time I see him, it'll go down well.
In more ways than one, will that make him your bosom friend? So,
okay,
yes, the Rick Emerson Show. The Rick Emerson Show has compiled an extensive dossier of various CNN radio correspondents and what they're drinks of choice are.
If our
relationship continues to any appreciable level, Rachel, at some point we'll have to find out what your preferred cocktail is, and we'll have it on hand. So,
all right then.
Did they give you any warnings or any sort of overview as to the nature of this radio program when they were preparing you for this job?
They just said you're going to do a live link-up with this radio station in Portland, and that was it. You know, I thought you were going to be very serious and journalistic and po-faced, but
no,
thankfully you're not.
No, I have really just the barest rudiments of standards here, and really even those are degrading with every passing day.
Well, I hope you had no training at all.
No, not really. I'm just sort of like a chimp that's been given a microphone, really, in the grand sense of things. Let's talk about, speaking of the hallmarks of American society and sophistication, let's talk about Walmart. I hate to be the stupid American guy asking you a lot of, like, you know, do you have potatoes in Britain? Like those kind of questions. But is there, I mean, is Walmart just an American phenomenon, or is that spread everywhere like typhus? Is that, if I go to Britain, am I going to find Walmarts there?
I don't think you are. I actually was talking to somebody the other day about this, and they did try to go into Britain, but it seems they were beaten back by an indigenous supermarket. Britain has a number of supermarket chains, and they started doing the big superstores like Walmart does, and I'm afraid that I think it was Tesco's actually managed to fend off Walmart, and as a result, we're now going to get Tesco's, certainly here in California. So instead of Walmart going over there, they've been fought off, and the British superstore's coming over here.
Well, that's fantastic. I do get the, in my mind's eye, of course, I just get the image of there's thousands of Britons with pitchforks and lamps and burning torches.
Yeah, it was the Boston Tea Party the other way around.
It's fantastic. You're just throwing a bunch of cheaply made consumer goods from Taiwan into the Thames.
But they have their own cheap consumer goods from Taiwan. They just didn't want to put them in an American-owned store.
Well, our countries are joining together to keep 8-year-olds employed the world over, Rachel. So Walmart, you would think that these companies would get to a size, I mean, this always staggers me. You get these companies like Walmart or whatever anybody thinks of, they're a giant corporation, and you would think that when you were making billions of dollars every year in sheer profit, that you would try to sort of have your act together so that you just didn't get nailed for stuff like this. But it was more than 1 million women now are going to be joining this class action suit against Walmart, and that's the sort of thing that if they don't settle, I mean, if they settle, it's going to cost them a lot, and if they don't settle it and they have to pay out, it's going to cost them even more. And so what is it that they wouldn't hire women, or they were firing them, or they were groping them? Or, I mean, that seems to be the three categories sex discrimination lawsuits fall into. Which was this?
Well, the Walmart employee who comes from the Bay Area, she's a woman who works as a greeter at Walmart, and she's the originator of this class action lawsuit. Basically, she said she got tired of watching male employees who were hired at the same time as her, or even after her, getting bigger pay rises and better promotions. And she's basically alleging that Walmart discriminates against female employees. She was joined by another six, and now, as you say, another million women. In fact, some people even say another 2 million women who have worked for Walmart could actually join this class action lawsuit. Basically just saying that, you know, they just didn't want women in top positions at the company. They discriminated against them and kept them at low pay. And of course, if this does go all the way, and there's a lot of steps in between, but if it does go all the way, it could cost Walmart, they estimate, billions of dollars in lost pay and damages.
And so, David, this is the kind of thing that, because the tide in America has sort of turned against Walmart over the last decade or so. There was this sort of window of time when Walmart was viewed kind of like Microsoft as just the apogee, just the apex of American corporate achievement and success and advancement. And that's kind of reversed itself over the last decade or so, which is the general sentiment is that Walmart is a company that needs to be reined in. And so it does seem like a thing that, just given the slightest shred of evidence, a court's probably going to find in favor of Walmart. And that's going to be, I mean, I can't, there's no way to even calculate probably, right, how much money that's going to be.
No, absolutely no way. It depends whether they decide that all of these women employees were discriminated against. And, of course, as a class action suit, you only have to prove so much, I think, and then everybody who qualifies gets some kind of compensation. So it is interesting because, you know, I think it goes back to a general feeling that we just had a raise in the minimum wage bringing in. And I think, you know, the tide is turning a little bit that when companies make huge profits, workers want to see some kind of reward for that, for all the work they're doing. And certainly, you know, equal opportunities is a no-brainer these days. And if you're going to not be very clever in how you handle male and female employees, if you're going to treat them differently, then, you know, you've got to watch your step.
Yeah, sure. I think that if these guys who run Walmart, if they're found guilty of all of this sex discrimination, I really think in addition to whatever financial remuneration they have to give these women, they ought to be sentenced to work as greeters at some of their own stores, like in Dayton, Ohio, and they ought to have to live in a house fitted entirely with goods from Walmart. That'll teach them. That's what we call aversion therapy. That'll keep them from doing it again. So, are you going to be unless there's something afoot that I don't know, are we going to have the pleasure of speaking with you again in the future, or is this kind of a one-shot deal?
Well, I hope so. I think when Jim's away playing, I'll be available. I think that's what the situation is.
Right.
So, hopefully I'll talk to you again, because it's been really fun.
Well, we have noticed that on Monday mornings he does sound a bit ragged sometimes, so you can draw your own conclusions about that. Rebecca, it was a pleasure. We hope to speak with you again in the very near future.
Thank you.
Thank you. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Rebecca McGrath. Is that right? Rachel.
Rachel.
Did I call her Rebecca? Yeah. You sure did.
Did I call her Rebecca? She's still there.
Is she still there?
She's You're fine. The ugly American.
Oh, I called her Rebecca.
Oh, so embarrassed. Well, your face is turning red.
Well, I don't want to get... I feel like a tool. I didn't have it in front of me. I didn't have the sheet right in front of me, and I said, Rebecca. Well, you know what it is? Now it's a pithy anecdote that I can use to break the ice between us the next time we talk. And it'll be one of those things like, we're going to laugh about this in the future. That's our meeting cute. Well, whatever. She's not going to remember my name 5 minutes from now. I mean, I'm embarrassed because I don't like to get anybody's name wrong. All right. Wasn't in front of me, though. Rachel McGrath. Rachel McGrath. I can think of a mnemonic device. Well, what can you do? She's from Britain. Maybe she didn't even understand me with my thick Yank accent and so forth. It's 503. She was good, though.
I love that line. I'm just like, can you tell I'm from Alabama?
No. That's a prepared line. That's a canned line. I mean, it's funny. You can kind of smile at it. It was some of her off-the-cuff stuff that was pretty great, though. So, Rick, my favorite name for man boobs is... I don't believe... Really? Don Geronimo refers to them as, Don says, look at my mitts. Like oven mitts.
Oh, yeah.
They're fluffy.
Big and fluffy.
Daria knows she has amazing fluffy pillows, Rick. They're a Portland institution. Yeah, we'll make an Encyclopedia Portlandia about them any day now.
Daria McNeil's breasts.
Did I say McNeil? Now I can't pronounce anything correctly. McNeil! Ladies and gentlemen, what the hell am I even doing here? It's 2:17. What have we got to get done?
I don't know, Rick.
All right. I don't know, Rick. We've got that guy, Brian.
Windows could use a good scrubbing.
Scotty? We've got that guy, Brian, that's being deployed to Iraq. He stopped by. We'll say hey to him here in a few minutes. Let's see. We've got these calls, many of them lusting after...
What's her name? Rhonda?
Rachel McGrath. Let's see. We have to do the suburban perspective, and we have news with Tim Riley. So let's do one call, then we'll talk to Tim Riley, then we'll roll with everything else. Let's see.
We have to take our break still, too.
All right. Chet, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, what's up, Rick?
What's up?
Dude, that Rachel McGrath sounds hot. I just picture her being like one of those sexy librarian types.
So I was going to say, this is exactly the kind of American she loves to hear from, I'm sure. The hot thing about her is, and again, I'm not speculating as to her age, but she does kind of sound like she's a librarian, maybe with like a writing crop. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
Librarian that might discipline you if you bring the book back late.
We need more of her. So, but okay. I think, I just want to say, Sarah, nobody has a sexier voice than you, so...
Oh,
just so you know.
You're still number one in Chet's heart.
I'm Chet, not Chet, but good enough.
All right. Well, that's okay.
You got another wrong name.
It says Chet on the screen, C-H-E-T. That's okay. She's Rachel, not Rebecca. So I don't know what the hell I'm doing. All right. Thank you, sir.
Right on. Best show ever.
All right. There you go. Thank you. Fantastic.
How you doing?
Boy, that sound is unnerving coming from a man.
That sound always weirds you out.
Can you do it? Stephanie Miller does that, and it kind of freaks me out.
It has always freaked you out. I remember that.
It's just weird. It's strange. And I don't want to get off on a whole Seinfeld thing here, but Fatboy had an interesting observation the other day. He was talking about cats and cat noises, and he had a good question, which is, why is it that we arrived at the sound of a cat purring as being like a synonym for like sexual arousal? Like the purring sound. Because that's kind of what that is. That's like a cat purr.
That is the rolling of the tongue.
Well, yeah. There are things with cats that have to do with sexual arousal.
It is true. And so what is that all about? But, the whole thing of, like, well, she purred with delight or whatever you'll see. Like, you never see a Mickey...
She barked with delight.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you never see a Mickey... And then the dame barked with delight. You never
that
see
would
that.
Be wrong.
But you do hear purred with delight. And so why is a cat purring synonymous? And I don't believe that it's related necessarily to the other cat term and its use in describing blah, blah, blah. But I think it's a separate thing. There is some weird feline female thing there. The cat purring noise being synonymous with sort of symbolizing sexual arousal is just weird.
Did Fatboy have any thoughts on it?
He asked Court, who I think was visibly uncomfortable with the whole thing. He asked, Court, why is that? And Court's like, I don't know. I don't want to talk about it. Oh, come on! And then he made the sound over and over and over again. And you could sense Court just kind of going, no, stop it, please!
It's philosophy talk on NPR.
Jesse? Scotty, can you talk to Jesse on line 3 and just tell him that this is Jesse from Red Hot Pistol. Tell him I did not receive their band's cuts. I'll have to email him later because my email is dropping attachments right now. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, let's... All right, Sarah, here's what we got to do. You got to make the tough choices. It's 2:20.
Mm-hmm.
We got to go to Tim. We got to do the Suburban Perspective. Those are the two things.
Why
we got to get
done. Break now. Get
Rick,
it over with.
Rick Emerson got to eat. So we got to do these breaks, too. So you choose what we're going to do.
Let's have a word from our sponsors.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. 503.
We'll keep us on track.
No. Rick Emerson is fine with that.
Stop talking about yourself in the third person. Please.
Let's call myself Rebecca for the rest of the day. That'll be my new alter ego instead of Raquel.
You can be Chet. I'll be Rebecca.
That's creepy.
That's another name you mispronounced.
It's a Chet! On the screen!
Uh-huh.
Maybe it was misspelled.
You think?
It's not fair to blame Scotty.
Back after this. No, don't get dumb, no. Payment, where we get our rhythm from? Number one, we hit the air, we drinking some. No gun, it's still never on the run. You wanna be an F1, drip a second wing, and then you come again. You know what time it is, if he's the president, pulling out my ray gun. And that in turn is only because of that big iron jaw that she's got.
You and her jaw.
Jessica Simpson?
Mm-hmm.
She's like China. She needs to have that thing where they break your jaw and then they put it back smaller. Isn't that what China had done?
That's exactly what.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Heather had that to when? Before? After? Did I know her with her old jaw?
No.
Was her jaw huge?
Actually, yeah, my orthodontist said that I probably should have too because.
Oh, your jaw's fine.
Yeah.
Was it?
It's not for cosmetic purposes.
Oh, is it?
So
you
can match up my teeth.
Do you have that TMJ?
Uh-uh.
Oh.
No, I don't know.
That's where your jaw pops or makes the popping thing. Your teeth don't line up.
Uh-uh.
Let me see. Your teeth are fine.
No, they're just like
a
couple of millimeters off. Yeah.
Well, what was her deal? What was Heather's? What was she probably with your sister's mouth?
I don't. You know, I don't remember. Her jaw really did look pretty big, though, and then, like, it set back.
Her jaw's huge.
It wasn't that big, but it was kind of like Jessica says, where it was kind of, a little bit more protruding, and now, yeah, her face shape changed completely.
Like a crocodile?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, like a crocodile, too.
You should tell her that when she
comes. Yeah, seriously. Yeah, when she's coming to visit us, isn't she?
Yeah, she's going to be here next Friday.
Yeah, Tim, make sure to point out that she used to look like a crocodile.
Well, I'd just make inquiries, as any newsman would.
Another reptile of your choice.
Circumstances.
You look like Trap Jaw from He-Man. All right, it's,
Sorry, Heather.
I'm sure she looks fine now.
She does.
I never would have known.
She's a good-looking girl.
Yes, she is. It's,
I'm sure I agree. I've never seen her picture.
No, she's a very aesthetically pleasing young lady. It's 503-733.
That was creepy.
I don't want to say, I can't say your sister's hot. That would just be weird. She's very pretty. Your sister's very attractive. But, I say that with all... With all the distance that statement requires. It's 503-733-2970. Scotty, quit asking sister questions about Sarah's sister. That's just weird. You gotta keep Scotty away from Heather when she comes here. It's 503-733-2970.
Oh, she's an attractive gal.
She is.
There's nothing wrong with her jaws.
No, not anymore. Not anymore. Her iron jaws. Her jaws that clamped shut with the force of 1,000 pounds per square inch.
Jaws of life?
Jaws of death.
Oh my God.
I don't even know what we're supposed to be doing now. We've got...
We're going
to
bring our special guest
in. But Scotty, can you bring... Scotty, pleased to be coming to the studio with Brian. We talked to this guy Brian a couple weeks ago, who's going to be.
She's very attractive.
Not Brian.
We're looking at pictures.
Tim is looking at pictures of Sarah's sister. I'm talking about this guy Brian, who's entering the studio now, who we heard from a couple weeks ago. You can step on up to the microphone here. I answered the phone like I said something like, "Hey, how's your day going?" And Brian's first words were like, "Well, I'm." Going to Iraq soon. So I guess there are better ways to spend your March or whatever. But what's up with you, Brian? I told you because you wanted to, you're like, well, can I come by and see the studio? And I said it was probably better to wait and see our new studio so that you don't have a completely flawed vision of where we do the show from.
Oh, yeah. This place is beautiful.
So what's in Iraq and why are you, what's in Iraq for your purposes? Is it a military thing?
Yes, it's a military thing. Mainly, we're going to be going to Kuwait and Iraq. We're doing shipboard cargo and possibly air cargo stuff.
Now, when you say you're doing shipboard cargo, is that like the actual transferring, or are you like you just like look inside of it to make sure that it's not full of wires and things that go bang? Or
the merchant marine ships come in and we actually do the loading and offloading of those ships.
I didn't even know we were still in Kuwait. Like, what are we?
It's like a port.
They're a partner in peace. Oh, right. Is that why? Is
this a staging area?
Is it staging area? Staging area is just sort of code, like it's near stuff that we might have to blow up. That's what staging area means.
Well, I think we taught Iraqis to eat civilized foods as we do. We're shipping things over there we know that they'll eat.
No, we've taught them to use a knife and fork. So therefore, you're allowed to have the actual food now.
American fast food. Restaurants over there, would they not?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I hear there's a Starbucks on base now.
That can only make their lives better. That can only improve things. So when do you head over there?
End of March.
And so this is dumb. Well, have you been there before?
Not on land that time. Because I was out to see the time before.
We have some guys in the audience. A lot of guys, actually. A guy named Justin, who used to drive the limo for our listener parties, is in Iraq right now. And it's a weird time, actually, because he's in Iraq. And I mean, there is this war going on, and he's there, and he's in the middle. I don't think he's on, like, on the front lines or anything, but I mean, he's over there with the military for the war, and yet I get these MySpace messages from him. And it's just so bizarre. Like, in World War II, there wasn't, like, a guy in a trench. What are you doing? Well, I'm logging on to MySpace, my girl back home. It's just a strange time. But I guess
computers are probably more prevalent now than they were.
Totally. Well, you wouldn't catch John Wayne with a laptop.
No, but that's what I'm saying. It's sort of weird because, well, I'm saying it's sort of deceptive because I'll get these MySpace messages from Justin, and I don't know, and so it's sort of, you have to remind yourself that, like, he's not just at, like, some cafe somewhere, like, having an espresso, you know, that, like, he is in a place where people are being shot at. But the subject line, anyway, this place sucks, you know, worst day ever. So is it just, like, a terrible place over there? Do you just step off the plane, you're like, why am I here?
It's like when I was in Bahrain not too long ago, it's like stepping into an oven. It's like, you know, 120 degrees, 130 degrees. But, you know...
And that's why people are more ornery than some other places.
That's why they're so grumpy over there. Seriously, they had air conditioning. Right. They'd be nicer to each other.
They're like Muslim Texans.
Well, that must be why it's just such a, like, an insane theocracy over there. Because every time there was a cool breeze, they thought that it was just, you know, oh, God is finally smiling on us. I mean, it's just... How is it that you don't die? That's what I never understand. Literally die from heat. If it's like 120 degrees, and you're, like, wearing all this stuff, how is it that you don't just pass out?
They say you get used to it. I don't see how.
Oh,
I don't. And there's no alcohol either, so I mean, why be there?
Is that, I thought that, like, when the military, that there was, I don't know, on MASH, it seemed like they were drunk all the time, so I just assumed that, like, every military operation, there was, like, a bar.
No, they don't have, like, the Andrews sisters.
The Lennon sisters. You can't go down to Rosie's and get loaded?
No, we traded that for the laptops.
Oh, man. Do they send entertainment and stuff over there? Because, they used to have the USO shows and stuff. They're like, if you're in the military now, do you still get stuff like that? Does, like, Jessica Simpson or somebody come over?
From what I understand, yes.
All right. Well, so you got that to look forward to, at least. So how long are you there for? Do you even know? Is it just like a...
They're saying anywhere from 6 months to a year. They can extend you up to 2 years.
Oh. Damn. Ugh. Heck. I mean, you're a better man than I am. Because seriously, I mean, that's like when you, I don't know, just the idea that, like, you, for 6 months, you know, you kind of can, you know, you can sort of deal with, like, okay, well, I'm going to be there 6 months, and okay, I'm going to, you know, I know the time frame, I know when I'm leaving there, I know I'm going to be back where there's air conditioning, and then after a while, they're like, well, it wasn't so much 6 months as it is, 24, you know, 24 months, now it's 36, I mean, hell no, there's no way. I'd just be hiding in a small, I'd be hiding in a small box somewhere so they couldn't find me. So
I don't know. Maybe it's better that you don't know exactly how long, because if the date actually comes and they extend you, then you want to go.
Yeah, just don't tell me. Just don't tell me.
So how much of a warning do they give you, like, when you're there, when you can actually go home?
I'm not sure. I'll find out.
Did you have a set time last time you were?
Oh, the last time I was on active duty, so.
Okay.
It was like, well, you know, I got another 3 years, so it doesn't matter.
So you said that you can't, there's no alcohol, there's no whatever. Is that a military thing, or is that, like, an Iraq thing? That's like a Muslim country?
That's a Muslim country. There's only two places in that area that actually have alcohol.
Oh, come on. You know, so we're bringing them the gift of war and rubble. You think they could at least get us, you know, liquored up while we're over there. Can people send you that, though? Can people send you booze?
Don't get caught.
Let me ask you, let me rephrase this question. Could I send you a box of socks?
Yes.
And I'm not saying that it would be filled with whiskey and porn, but I mean, theoretically speaking, just send you a box of dirt, maybe a sod, you know, but somehow in the middle of something, if like some, you know, Jack Daniels happened to fall into the box.
As long as nobody sees it.
Fantastic. I think we understand each other, Martin.
Do they go through your packages before you get them?
From what I understand, they believe it or not, they x-ray them.
Really? Well, I guess it is. I guess it is a war on terror or whatever. So a war on whatever it is that we're declaring war on. Well, I'm surprised actually. I say that because I get emails sometimes where it's you know, the email address ends in like .mil or whatever, and it's like some guy who's in the military, and I'm kind of surprised at some of the correspondence that I get. I guess because. And I come not a totally military family. My dad was in the military for a long time. My brother was in the Marines for years. And Sarah's parents, or your dad, was in the military. And so it's not like I have a totally flawed view of it. I guess I do view it as being a little bit where it's like all your activity is monitored. Because I'm surprised at some of the emails I get from guys that are like, this sucks. Worst thing ever. Why am I here? Take me home, please. And I guess I always just assumed that there was some guy in a room somewhere who stopped that email from going out. But maybe not.
I don't think they can stop everything going out. And, you know, there's a difference between, you know, going on public radio and, you know, really blasting the military as opposed to your own personal views.
Right, right. Well, God love you. So you're building a better person than I am. So I'll make sure that the box of sod arrives for you over there. So be safe. Good luck. And thanks for coming in. And, don't fall over from the heat and don't do anything. Don't do anything to make that a worse situation for yourself than it already is. Because any time it starts with, I stepped off the plane, I can't drink, everything is full of sand and it's 130 degrees, it only gets worse from there. So, anyway, be safe. Brian, thanks for coming in, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Good afternoon, everyone. A judge overseeing the court-martial of Army Lieutenant who refused to deploy to Iraq declared a mistrial today, saying the soldier did not fully understand the document he signed, admitting to elements of the charges. First Lieutenant Irin Ratana was fighting charges of conduct unbecoming an officer and missing movement for refusing to leave last year with his unit.
I was in Seattle or something.
Well, yeah.
It's Washington. Happened in Fort Lewis, as a matter of fact.
Hey, this guy brought me pens. Brian's buddy, as he was leaving.
Are they your favorite kind of pen?
Well, no, because they don't make my pen anymore. That's the thing, is they quit making mine, and so he knows how I've been bitching about my inability to get. Dave Zinn brought me these pens from upstairs, these Uniball Signo gels. Brian brought me these, what are they called? I can't see the brand, they're covered up. They're called Forays. Foray Black Ink Extra Fine Point. Fantastic. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, Baghdad's streets were electric with tension today as U.S. officials confirmed a new security option on the way. U.S. armor rushed through streets. Iraqi armored personnel carriers guarded bridges and major intersections, and they put up brand new barbed wire all over the place. Gunfire rang out across the city, and people cringed in their homes from all the noise. Meanwhile, Tony Snow says the Iraqi government needs to take things slowly.
These things don't happen overnight. It does take time, and there are a lot of logistical considerations to take into account.
Yes, the Iraqi government is making serious good faith efforts to control this mess.
There are any number of scenarios that are going to play out, but as we've also said many times, you got to see what's going on the ground. So that certainly is one of the scenarios.
Really? We would if it was safe to venture out. I was just going to say, maybe Tony Snow would like to go there personally and take a look at what's going on the ground.
I think Toby Keith will, you
please. Yeah, I was going to say, will you just create a whole list of people who really need to go over there and see exactly what's going on the ground, so they can come back and talk about all this progress in gripping detail. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh. I just got the subject. Subject line, Sarah's sister. And it just says, can Sarah's sister unhook her jaw and swallow a lamb whole? I don't know why that's funny. Well, I do know why it's funny, because it's hilarious. That's why. I guess that's a bit
that's
circular.
Respectful.
Circular
I was
logic.
So mean to her the summer she got her jaw broken, too.
Really? Did you call her jawbreaker?
I would take tons of pictures with her when she'd be propped up with, like, ice packs wrapped around her face, and I'd take pictures, thumbs up next to her, and torture her, and then we'd go walking around town, and she kind of seemed like she was disabled.
Maybe that was... Was it after that that you had the big, swollen pumpkin head?
I think it was...
I think it was that summer or the next summer.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, we have many, many people, Tim, saying that your password, by the way, did go over the air. So, you know, you might want to be revising that on whatever computer
you're using. There's nothing in my bank account anyway, so I don't see any problem here.
It's good that you just clarified that it's your bank account.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Meanwhile...
White House spokesman Tony Stoll said the Iraqi government is doing the best it can.
Our goal is to make sure that the Iraqis are able to assume full and effective control of security operations and also political and economic operations within their country as soon as possible.
You know, they're doing the best they can. The fact that that might be true is absolutely terrifying to me. Don't actually... Yeah, all right, whatever. We should probably break here. We should break, we should come back, and we'll do the suburban perspective.
That'll be the level.
With Scotty J. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll return. We'll have the suburban perspective with Scotty J. We'll find out which fantastic submission from the audience is today's suburban perspective question. If we use your question for the suburban perspective, you'll win a pair of tickets to Monster Jam happening this weekend at the Rose Garden. Sarah Dillon will be there. Will you? It's 503-733-2970. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Love anyone. Saying it violates my sense of completion otherwise. That's not at all.
I need to have a sense of completion.
I feel so unfulfilled. Who is this?
My favorite band in the world.
Wait, face to face.
Yeah.
See?
You do listen.
Okay, we're entering into that weird area again, where it sounds like we're dating. It's 503-733-2970. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty J now entering the studio for the suburban perspective. Hello, Scotty J, and how are you today?
I cannot be better.
That's a pretty optimistic answer.
How hungover are you today on a scale of 1 to 10?
Zero.
Really? Because you were pretty hungover yesterday.
No, the day before.
Oh, was it the day before?
It was right after Super Bowl.
Yesterday he quit drinking. Tonight it's going to be nice.
That's right. How'd you know?
Today's your off day.
Today's a good day.
All right. A pair of tickets to Monster Jam goes to John Connolly. And I will forward, I'll get his information. I will get his information to you, Scotty, so you can get it from him. John Connolly, you wear a pair of tickets to see Monster Jam this week at the Rose Garden because he submitted the following suburban perspective question, Scotty. Here's my question for Scotty J. Mr. J, what books would you suggest be on the required list, if any, at local... I'm sorry, what books, if any, would you put on the required list at local schools? This is actually a two-part question. We'll do that part first. What books would you put on the required list for local schools? Thank you, John.
Well, first of all, I'm not a big reader. I've probably read two books in my entire life. So.
And they are?
They are on this list, actually, that I would...
What's the last book you read?
I think it was a book by Trump. And I have that on the list.
I would have guessed Tom Clancy, but okay.
No, I'm not a big fiction guy. I like real stuff.
You're not a real big anything guy. You've read two books.
That's true.
So saying you're not a big fiction reader is, I mean, that sort of is understood.
No, I watch a lot of TV, movies, read a lot of magazines.
That's like reading, but it's not.
I kind of skim over certain words. I don't know.
On the TV?
Just in the magazines. If I don't know what they mean, I just skip over them. But I get the gist.
What are the magazines that you read regularly?
Well, I read People. I read Scientific American. And there are some good articles in there.
That's a lie.
Like Scientific American?
Yeah, I did. I read some stuff on...
I don't mean like what magazines have you read once because you were in a waiting room and that's all there was.
Man, you know me.
I'm saying what magazines come...
Did you read
Highlights? Yeah.
Yeah. I read a lot of... Cool. I like magazines on how to do stuff, whether it be landscaping or carpentry, because I like to remodel.
What magazines come to your house?
Right now I got Rolling Stone left. We had like a 20-year subscription to that, which I rarely ever even open it anymore. It was a good magazine, but I don't have time to read it anymore. We used to have Us and People, Rarely read that as well. A lot of the magazine reading is in a lobby of somewhere.
What do you read?
I don't read. I'm not a huge reader. But
saying you're not a huge reader doesn't really do it justice.
I don't read a lot, but when I do, go to like a Barnes & Noble or...
Why would you go to a Barnes & Noble?
Or a Powell's. I enjoy looking around, and there's all kinds of books that I'd like to own, and I would like to read them. And I have several books sitting on my bookshelf at home, but I just haven't read them.
So,
I did read a book in Hawaii, though. It was Trump, How to Get Rich.
Let's back up. So, you've read, by your own estimate, you've read a couple books in your life.
Yeah.
Why would you be at a Powell's?
Well, you have to go there and you have to try to save a dollar, a buck or two to buy books for college, right? And then you have to act like you read them for college.
I don't understand.
It's kind of like high school and college. I just muddled my way through everything. If you haven't noticed, here on the show.
You went through college and didn't read any books?
I sort of did. I have the old Evelyn Wood speed reading technique where you take your finger and you skip every sentence.
If you skip every sentence, you could accomplish that by just leaving the book on the shelf. That it seems like you're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
It should be obvious when you talk to me.
Okay.
Anyway.
So you said, well, whenever I'm in a Barnes & Noble looking at the books, why would that be? Why would that situation ever arise?
Well, there'll be times when I go there in the past for, you know, college books or whatever. However, if we're going on a vacation and stuff, and we're going to take an airplane flight, I'll buy books on gambling.
Airplane flight.
I'll buy books on gambling. I've read several sales books in my life.
What is the last novel you read?
I think the last novel I read was How to Get Rich by Trump.
Okay, that's
but
not
I
a...
used to read sales, you know, how to be successful in sales.
What's a novel?
A novel where there's... Oh, God. I hate it when you ask me questions. A novel? I'm going to say it's a story, a book.
So what is the last novel you read?
Probably back in junior high, then, I would say.
What do you suppose?
And these are on my list, by the way, of things that I would...
What do you suppose that book might have been?
Probably And Then There Were None, something like that. Or To Kill a Mockingbird. I would put those on the recommendation list for school, by the way.
So the question was, what books would you put in the required list for local schools?
To Kill a Mockingbird.
Okay.
And Kings of Five.
Because
what's the plot of To Kill a Mockingbird?
The plot is about, it's from a child's perspective of a guy who's accused of raping someone, and he didn't actually do it. And so it goes through all this stuff about, through the child's eyes of what happened. That's all I can remember.
Okay.
Of course, I did research on it.
Have you ever actually read To Kill a Mockingbird?
Yeah. We saw the movie in class, but this is like seventh grade.
You saw the movie, but did you actually...
How old am I?
Did you read it?
Sure.
Okay.
Did you have to read The Grapes of Wrath?
No, we didn't.
Is that one of the books on your list?
No.
What are the other books on the Scotty J. All Children Should Read This Book?
Agatha Christie and Then There Were None. That's a good, you know, mystery. We're mixing it up a bit here. That's a good mystery novel.
Yes, yes you are.
And people disappear, you know.
Do you think the kids in school would like that book?
I think so, for entertainment value. Then there's Trump, How to Get Rich. Every kid should read that. I mean, I put another one on my list, which is a sales book I read, Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
I've actually read that.
Not a bad book.
I have read Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
See... But when we talk about other things like, you know, mystery novels and books for entertainment, I don't do that. But I have read a lot of books similar to this Trump book and, you know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad and those type of things while I sip Mai Tais. I did that when I was in Hawaii. I actually read two books.
Did they make you read other books in school?
It's just, let me be honest, I never... was interested in books and reading. I'm the kid who liked comic books, the kid who, you know, wants to read the magazines and look at pictures more so than reading. Hey, here's a good book for kids, by the way, while we're talking about this. Harry by the Sea. Okay, so if you're in grade school, I recommend every kid read that book. You know the book?
No, what's it about?
Okay, Harry's a dog, and he goes on vacation with his family, and it's a really hot day, and there's a the family puts out an umbrella, but there's no room for Harry the dog to sit under the umbrella, and he's hot, so he decides to go down by the ocean, and he takes a nap in the ocean, you know, puts a big wave over the top of him and covers him in seaweed. And so Harry then wakes up out of his dream or whatever he's doing on the beach there and tries to go find his family, but there's a million umbrellas that look exactly like the one that he left before. Mm-hmm. So as he's trying to find his family's umbrella, people think that this is an actual moving monster on the beach. And so there's all kinds of plots and twists and turns. It's a good one.
What's a noun?
It's a person, place, or thing.
Okay. Okay. We're starting with the building blocks.
Ask the definitive question?
Yes.
Why does Scotty think that these should be on children's reading list?
Why should like To Kill a Mockingbird?
Because it's a good day. It's... it's been around for years. We all read it. The reason...
Some of us really read it. Some of us claim to have read it.
Some of us watched the movie.
Because it deals with...
Some of us read every other sentence.
It deals with all kinds of things. Like, you know, the justice system. Young children's minds. Race. It deals with growing up. That type of stuff. It's a good book for that. And as far as... And then there were none. That's more of an entertainment value perspective. Right. Why they should read that.
Let's, it's 503-679, there you go, that's me. It's me doing that. I hate that.
I don't care.
503-733-2970. Hello, hi there, you're on the Suburban Perspective with Scotty J.
Sounds like Chris.
And I guess this is early?
Yeah, we're standing to screener. Hold on a second, sir. All right. Hello, Rick Emerson Show.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Rich. Hey, you were talking earlier about the trailers, you know, the portables in the schools.
Yes.
The special kids.
Yes, sir.
Scotty, were you one of the inhabitants of that pod?
Does somebody have a helmet in the closet at home is what he wants to know.
Okay.
Do you want a helmet?
He's what? Now, wait a minute.
Wearing a helmet now.
No. I did not wear. I did not sleep in a padded room, and I did not have a helmet on.
That's a padded room.
They didn't say, "Oh, you got a new jacket for Christmas. Really? Let me put it on for you."
No, he's still there. All right, thank you, sir. I'm curious about this technique you've done of reading every other sentence. And you are a so-called speed reader. If you're a speed reader, it seems like you would have the ability to read many books.
You know what my problem is? I can see the words, and you can like follow your finger across the page and skip and do all this stuff. But my biggest problem is short-term memory, and it's something I've dealt with my entire life.
So if I gave you something to read, could you read it and then tell me what it was?
Well, for instance, I read the Trump book like 2 years ago. I can barely remember hardly anything about what it was about.
But everybody should read it. Yeah, but it should be required. It should be required reading. Mandatory.
Well, I'm not a big reader, see? So this whole perspective on reading is really skewed, even from my perspective.
Thanks, Scotty. Scotty J with the Suburban Perspective.
Thank you.
That's John Connolly.
Thank you, sir.
Good job, Scotty. All right, let's...
Postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, our good friend Mailman Chris. Hi.
2 years, that's a short-term memory, huh?
Yeah, apparently so. I didn't even get to the second half of the question, which is, what dear Scotty, what books would you suggest be banned, if any, from local schools? I don't know what I got you and what I didn't. It was a busy show. It seems like I just came here today. It seems like I just walked in the door and that we're done, so...
Well, you got most everything. Did not get you didn't give away any Penguin DVDs.
Oh, damn, that's right.
You did not get to the Corpse Watch. And you didn't get to the top five.
Oh, that's too bad. The Corpse Watch was really good, and by good I mean horrifying, so that's unfortunate. Well, we'll get to that tomorrow.
You missed three. You had three, but you had six.
All right, six. All right, good.
Perfect day tomorrow and Friday. You can break even.
Fantastic. All right, I'll do it. Thank you, sir.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Hello, Mailman Chris, ladies and gentlemen. All right, no time. These people are calling. No time. No time to be fair to another caller. So we will move on. We're going to thank CNN radio correspondent Rachel McGrath. Also, Brian Blank and Lisa Goddard, plus Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com. Coming up tomorrow in the Rick Emerson Show, we will get to that top five. We'll get the second half of the Suburban Perspective and et cetera, so on and so forth. Like us next, Dynamike at 7, John and Jeff at 11. We'll see you tomorrow at 11. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, it's Tim Riley. Our PA is Scotty J. And the gatekeeper is Dave Zinn. As always, thanks for listening. Don't let the messengers run it. Everybody stay still tomorrow. Bye.
Session FM DJs and La Meilleure Area de Portland.